Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the only show on the internet where we talk about things like, you know, sci-fi, fantasy, Game of Thrones, Westworld, all that good stuff. We are, once again, second week in a row, coming at you with the coronavirus special. Obviously, this is, having a effect on people. Social distancing, stay indoors, quarantine yourself. We are not in the office, but we are in our homes. And we are dedicated to giving you the latest and greatest information analysis you could possibly get, because you deserve it. Mia, how are you doing on week two of being shut up in your home?
Ooh, it is I wouldn't say it's a lot. A lot, you know, as an introvert, as a homebody, it's okay.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like just being like in one spot for like a week and getting out here and there. It's still a lot. I'm like, oh my goodness, how long am I going to go through this?
Honestly, guy, like, I don't even mind it yet. I feel like...
Well, you just started out, though, so you're still in, like, the, this is fine zone. I'm kind of like, oh, man.
It's been 2 weeks. Oh, and Julie, thank you. You're right. I was sick last 2 weeks. I thought it might be coronavirus, so I fully went to doctors and just asked them about it. They said it wasn't. Although I didn't get tested, I don't know. But I'm feeling better. So if I had it, I'm over it. And if I didn't, I'm over whatever I had. So, hooray.
Clean bill of health.
Exactly. And welcome everybody to watching. Hey, Louise. Strange times to you, too. Yes, I know it's very well. Hey, Bill. Hey, Julie. Hey, everyone else watching. Let's get to it, because the coronavirus is not just affecting us. It is affecting the entertainment industry in a huge way. And I thought we could chat about it. First of all, with some Game of Thrones lead-in, Mia, Tormund Giantsbane has the coronavirus.
I'm so sad. Well, I mean, he looks like he's in good spirits, though, so...
He does, yeah. I mean, it's this whole thing where people are trying to get it. You know, Idris Elba, Tom Hanks.
Kevin Durant.
Christopher Hitchvu. Kevin Durant. Right, the music producer. We're all, like, posting these... Oh, Andrew Watt, music producer, got it. We're all like posting these things. We're like, I have it. I'm okay. Like, and people that will probably be okay. They have good health care.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little worried for Tom Hanks. Don't get me wrong.
Well, they released him from the hospital, so him and they're at home now. Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. obviously, we're going to hear about this kind of thing going into the future. Also, we heard just today that Indira Varma, another Game of Thrones alum, has it. Remember Alaria Sand from the later season? She was the Dornish woman who killed her leader and ended up getting poisoned by Cersei in that great dungeon scene in season 7. I love that scene. But yeah, she came down with it. And notably, she is in a production in London, which is now shut down, with Amelia Clarke, who is in there. So we haven't heard anything from that. But it's possible she has it too. We'll find out in the future. I mean, we're going to get a lot of that, I imagine, as this thing winds down. It's just, God, it's spooky.
It is. It's very surreal, because we've never seen anything like, at least in my lifetime. It's extreme lockdown. People are like, who can I be around? Where can I go? Disneyland is closed. It's bummers all around.
I mean, unless there's someone who is alive during the 1919, I think, Spanish flu epidemic, no one alive has gone through this. Maybe someone's like a baby then, maybe. But other than that, no, this is definitely new territory. It's definitely spooky, it's scary. Obviously, stay safe, wash your hands, maintain your distance, hand sanitize, all that good jazz. And we're just going to try to get you through it with some entertainment. Yes, Tom Hanks is stuck down there, which is fun. Maybe that's one of these silver linings. It's fascinating, though, what it's doing to the entertainment industry as a whole. Because obviously there are these people we like who are getting it, and that's going to happen. And hopefully they'll all be okay. They'll get through it. I think they probably will. They all have good health care. They all will know what to do vaguely. But I'm wondering more about how it's going to affect what we're going to be watching over the next, solid year, because there's been a lot going on. So basically, movies are canceled for the next couple of months.
Yeah. Some still question marks.
Lots of, and yeah, and I'm not sure they've announced like new release dates for a lot of them. Like Mulan's been moved, No Time to Die, the ninth Fast and the Furious movie, Black Widow just got moved, and that was going to be in May, which should tell you Hollywood like isn't terribly optimistic about the stop time for this whole rigmarole.
I was going to say, AMC theaters. I know a lot of the cinema chains are like, we're closing down anyway, but I know AMC for sure were like, we are closing for 12 weeks. 12. I think, up to 12. So maybe we'll see what I mean not. But for the movies, especially like Black Widow was one of the last ones to be pushed.
Right.
I believe that was yesterday. Like these days, time isn't even exist to me anymore. but it kind of felt like Black Widow was, Disney was cornered because it was like, well, no movie theaters are open. Nobody's coming to the movies. They've already reduced capacity and now closed theaters. So nobody's going to go see this. So Disney definitely got cornered there for a good reason. I'm like, please, you know, make sure that people actually see this movie. It is just kind of weird to think, okay, are we going to have like a bunch of movies stacked together or what's going to happen? When can we see them?
That's what I'm wondering now, because, okay, so we're beginning to delay. Other things are going to delay. I think Louise had a good comment here about, so that lots of delayed premieres until the end of the year, the 18 months of knock-on effect for film and TV. My question is, so all these movies that are being delayed, so are they just going to all get pushed back to, like, the end of the year or early next year, and they all come together with the things that were going to go then anyway? Like, will Black Widow and the Eternals premiere a week out from each other?
Jeez.
Or is it more like all these will be pushed, like, these will be pushed back, like Mulan and Quiet Place Part 2 and Black Widow. And then the movies that would have premiered later in the year are just going to push back further. So we'll just no movies now, and then an eternal cascading stack.
Yeah, all the movies later. I do know that the only ones that I know off the top of my head that have dates that were pushed back was No Time to Die, which is for November 3, actually. Peter Rabbit, which was only pushed to August. And then Fast 9, which was pushed to April, I believe. Or like basically 11 months. So they're kind of like all over the place at this rate. They're like, maybe like 4 months or maybe a year. We don't know. It's going to be kind of weird to have those staggered out and to also keep in mind, like, what's their other competition. November movies like Eternals haven't been pushed back yet. So, it's like, who's to tell?
It's been pushed back, but, I mean, stuff like that, production shut down. So, for movies that are going to come out later, like things like The Batman and the new Jurassic Park thing, Dominion, the Avatar sequels, Shang-Chi, Legends of the Ten Rings, another Marvel movie, Fantastic Beasts 3, which we're all just crossing our fingers to see that.
Please come back, Fantastic Beasts.
All of those are just been stopped production. So I would think they would have to get pushed back because they won't be ready in time.
Yeah, they won't
their
be ready.
Release dates. So I guess the best case scenario is this will pass. Let's just say that this is going to pass eventually.
Yeah, it will pass. It's too short.
So we'll get the movies we would have been watching now later, and the movies we would have been watching later, even later than that.
Yeah.
So it'll just be a.
It's all delayed. The TV shows, though, are also kind of interesting. For the ones, it's like, because it's weird because there are TV shows that are out right now, you would, you know, never guess that anything is wrong or, you know, but
yes,
the, either the later episodes that they haven't filmed yet, I'm not entirely sure how all the productions work for every single show, but it's like, are the ends of seasons going to be delayed? Or like when it comes to like fall summer TV shows, like, are we going to have a summer season or are we going to have a delayed? Is fall TV going to become winter TV? It's like, that affects my job.
What I'm horrified about is the TV stuff. Because right now you're like Westworld, for example. Like, I imagine all those episodes are in the can, pretty much. Maybe there's a few editing things they're doing, but like, those are done.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the less premium shows, like a CW drama, like The Flash or something.
Supernatural, any of the
Chicago like those film as they go. And I think that The Flash and one of the other ones in that show were delayed. Like, the episodes are not going to air, the episodes they have, because they're not going to have enough new stuff to film. So that's happening pretty quick. And there's definitely going to be, like a weird dead period where we should have been watching TV in the fall or even the spring, but we just won't.
Yeah.
Because all these shows getting, they're not being made anymore.
I realize I jumped topics. Oh my gosh. We've got so much to talk about
all
today.
Coronavirus.
Discussion.
We got The Witcher got put on pause, Stranger Things put on pause, The Wheel of Time, Lord of the Rings shows got put on pause, Fargo and the Falcon and the Winter Soldier that got put on pause.
Pretty much all the Disney shows, I believe. It was Falcon and the Winter Soldier first, and then Wanda and Loki, and then every single other little Disney Plus show, they're like, it's good. It's like, on one hand, I'm complaining and like, I want the shows to come out of it. But also, this is the thing to keep in mind. It's like, it's a safety first approach. You know, you want your loving celebrities to be healthy. You want the production crew to be healthy. So it's it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
less folk think me insensitive. Obviously, this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think about how it might have a long-term effect, because sometimes, if this happens, the entertainment industry could just be stalled, and sometimes you don't really recover from that. Like, if there's a giant slump and people discover, we don't need TV, we'll rediscover books or something, then stuff might not come back in some cases. Yeah.
She says you'll have lots of time to catch up on all the shows now, Dan, and lots of reading and listening. Yes. So
I'm going to have to. I have a giant list of stuff I'm going to get to. Also, Bill Duck has a comment too. The Rolling Stones had already put, they're still touring. The spring summer tour is coming to fall dates. Bands obviously are getting really, really hard hit by this, because what is a concert except for a bunch of people together listening to you? The market open dates, played every band under the sun, looking to make up for lost touring income. That said, this fall should be amazing for the mosh pit schedule. I'm not sure what that means. Okay. Fall people will be excited to get back into the mosh pit or something. Just like to really just go hard at it after months of abstinence.
Oh boy.
Speaking of kind of mosh pits, this is a tortured segue, but I'm going to go with it. One TV show that isn't suspending things that I just found out about and wrote about is WWE. I wanted to bring this up because it's kind of an interesting case. So WrestleMania is still going forward early next month, which is we're not going to be over this by that time.
Yeah.
They're going to have WrestleMania, a giant wrestling event. They're going to hold it in a closed studio, not where they were going to film it in an auditorium or anything. Going to be, only select personnel on set, no audience members. And I think they did a recent wrestling event like that, SmackDown. And it was just it's very strange watching people go at it and throw their bodies at each other. Where there's no sound and no one's watching. But
yeah,
I bring that up because a lot of these shows are saying we're on a 2-week break. Stranger Things is 2-week break. And it's okay, there's no way we're in the clear in 2 weeks. My question there is, what happens in 2 weeks? Are you going back and thinking about restarting in a reduced capacity? Because I assume that they were just kind of saying 2 weeks, and it's not just, it's lots of shows are saying that. You just come back and then no, we're gonna go another 2 weeks. Or might you do a WrestleMania and just try to do a really closed set?
It's reminding me, I feel the late night shows are a really big case study of this because of
John Oliver.
Yeah, John Oliver. Oh, I need to watch his latest one.
It's weird. It was a white room with no laugh track.
Yeah, I saw the thumbnail. But so what happened was, and this all happened so quickly for the late night host, was I was looking at Jimmy Fallon and Colbert. And they started out, they had one day or so where it was no audience. There was just the producers. And they were okay, we're going to do this every day without an audience. And literally, like, the next, they were like, just kidding, we're going on hiatus. It was, you know, to me, the shows worked without a audience, without a laugh track. Because it kind of, if you think about it, it's kind of like when you watch a YouTube video and you watch a YouTube personality talk, and they're, you know, it's basically just them talking to the camera and you have no feedback or no audience feedback, like us, right?
Yeah.
Well, at least we have each other. But the wrestle thing though is interesting because the crowd gives an atmosphere to it. So while you're smack talking somebody, you kind of want to hear the crowd like roaring and all that. That was hilarious to me. Because if you I encourage everyone to look up this clip, but if you isolate the audience from the whole, you know, SmackDown, you know, let's talk and all that stuff, they sound like trained professional, you know, actors, fine Shakespearean actors. So it's really funny. It's like, wow, these guys really mastered their craft. But to get back to the point, I think that these places will have to reevaluate within like the next week or within by the end of the month.
Absolutely.
To kind of say, hey, are we reopening our doors? I really, to me, it almost sounds like that doesn't need to happen. I feel like nothing even seems nearly in control yet for people to be making decisions in 2 weeks. So this could really last a long, long time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, like, it hurts me. Like, I want like the Wheel of Time, for instance, to come out sooner rather than later, but it does, like, I don't see a scenario where it's okay to come back in 2 weeks. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And yeah, I'm not right now.
For the wrestling people, frankly,
I know. I'm
not sure a close set is enough. Like, I wonder if they're looking to see, like, how will this go and then find out.
Yeah.
So just enjoy the TV we have right now, because I'll be losing it pretty soon. Really, some quick comments here. A great comment from Julie. I hate wrestling. My first husband was a wrestler. Hear you. I watch The Bachelor. I watch pro wrestling. Each is about as believable as the other, says Bill Duck. Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. Bachelorette is on hiatus too, unfortunately. So it's going to be a minute.
And Sherry, I believe they're doing new Supernatural episodes, but like that might not last for that long.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this is it in.
Oh, yeah. Saturday Night Live as well.
Yeah.
I think they are off indefinitely. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's going to be, well, see, it's almost cruel, right? It's like, what's the best time to binge television and watch movies and things like this? It's when you're under quarantine and can't leave your house. But that's also when they can't produce anything new. Luckily, there is 100 years of movie history you can, like, dip into in television. So we should be fine. Plenty out there to discover. But it's going to be strange when we get to the point where things should have been coming out that are new and they're not. Also, obviously, we don't know how long it's going to last. Like, anywhere from, like, May through July. I don't know. Con of Thrones, by the way, is not canceling so far. They're in July. Yeah. They're still announcing guests. But I don't know. Like, is that just for a moment, and then they're going to have to come up against it? Or will this thing really have passed enough to travel by then? I certainly want to go. It's in Orlando. I want to go to the beach.
Yeah, have some fun. Wait, no, Orlando is landlocked, isn't it?
Yes.
Sorry to break it to you.
Actually,
it's in the middle of the state.
It's in Florida.
There's some lakes and swamp. But yeah, like Comic-Con is, I believe it's probably like the week after Con of Thrones. So they have yet to cancel. Their sister convention is WonderCon in Anaheim, and that has been postponed. There are some other conventions that were coming up. I believe Emerald City Comic-Con was postponed.
Yes,
and then in Boston, Ace Comic Con was postponed, and that was going to have a huge, it's going to have Ian McGregor, Chris, all whatever Chris you can imagine. They had a really big lineup, and so all these things are kind of like, oh man. And it's sad that it's postponed. You can't see your favorite celebrities or all those things. But again, just thinking about a mass gathering at this time just does not sound sanitary at all. Not safe.
Yeah, I mean, basically, we don't know what's going to happen. As Sherry says, talk about August. Seems like a reasonable time. Oh, my God, stuck in our house until August.
Yeah. What are we gonna do? Just in time to be in the summer. Yeah. I was speaking of, we barely even got to the movies on demand, talking about making our own fun. Yeah. Which lots and lots of movies either being released now or being released early. So the first big shocker surprise was Frozen 2, which Disney Plus was like, Disney said, hey, well, you know, drop it on Disney Plus. Even though it was already out to rent online, they're like, yeah, we'll just make it for subscribers. Universal, I believe, was then the next one. So they've got movies like, what is this? The Invisible Man, Emma, Trolls will be coming out on video on demand. I was a little scared for that movie. And then my favorite, the 24th, Birds of Prey, is coming out on video on demand. So I can finally see it.
You know what's fun about this is that it might, like, this has been floated. Because studios have always been resistant, right, to, like, release new movies on streaming services day and date. Like, they're very big on, we want to put them out in the theaters first, and then we'll put them on streaming services. But, you know, crises make you do things you didn't think you'd do, and now they might put it something like The Invisible Man, which has been out for, like, a couple of weeks, on streaming services, have a big hit with it, and that might make it so after this is all over, again, that's coming.
Yeah.
It might be more normalized to just put out movies in theaters at the same time as they do it on streaming services. So this might be a long-term win for Netflix and company.
Perhaps. Well, you know, the thing is that to note is that these are still like the video on demand. So it's like most of them probably won't be simultaneously on like subscription-based like Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu. So you're going to still have to pay for it individually. But it does offer, at least for now, a nice alternative, because even though these movies came out, audiences were diminishing anyway. So it's like, hey, we got to make that revenue back somehow. I mean, I've always been, I mean, on demand has been around for a while now. Back in the days when we had like the Comcast on demand, like, what was that, like 15 years ago? So it's always been an option. I think now they're seeing it probably, you know, as more viable. But Black Widow has to be released in theaters. I have to see that. I have to see Mulan on the big screen.
I think they might release the New Mutants on demand.
They should. They should just drop it and run, please.
You have to be kind to that poor movie. Yeah. Reshuffled again.
Take our word, please.
That would be, by the way, audience, the New Mutants is an X-Men spinoff filmed like in 2016, 15, something like that. Maybe even before. With Maisie Williams as a werewolf girl, I think.
Yeah.
It's just been strung along for years and years. And it was finally going to come out. And then a plague hit. And they couldn't put it out because of that.
I feel so sorry.
That could be nice. Nice for those people to get some exposure. But yeah. I hope it ends and you all staying safe. But for the few shows that are still coming out, in theory, have a bigger audience. Shows like Westworld. Which has debuted on the HBO channel, the HBO network. I watched the premiere. You've watched the first four episodes because you got them streamers. Can I tell you what I thought of the premiere?
Yes, please. I was just about to ask.
Very cool. All right. I enjoyed it. So Westworld, it's a whole new ball game. They're out of the park. I thought the show needed a reset like this. I thought it was due for one. I thought the last season got very kind of long-winded and philosophy professor has the mic and won't give it up sort of feeling. But this season, I enjoyed it. I liked the new setting. I liked the acting as always. I think the aesthetics are great. I really do. Yeah. I think the look of the show is so cool. It's got kind of the... like, it's the future, but it's not like so. It's not like Jetson's future where they're like flying cars or anything. Right. It's just really souped up reality. So you have Dolores's, you know, like shifting, you know, pointless dress that just turns into a different dress when she walks into the hall. You have, you know, kind of future helicopters that don't have any whirling blades or anything. They just kind of lift up and go. And you have her. Like, I think the best special effect, the most, like, futuristic special effect is kind of her performance, Evan Rachel Wood. She's so good at giving this, like, kind of, like, cool, glassy, Terminator, slick exterior that is very compelling to watch. I do like her a lot in the role. That's my favorite thing I think about it. Just like the aesthetic and imagination what they got going on. You know, all like the little like binoculars they have that like show you all the little words and numbers, people's faces. The giant pulsing robot ball in the center of Insight, the new company. I love looking at the show a lot. And I did enjoy the tone. I liked how, you know, it was Westworld dour. It was a little gloomy. It was a little pregnant with a menace of the coming robot apocalypse. Always fun. I liked it. I enjoyed the new character. I liked Aaron Paul as Caleb. You know, it's one episode in. I'm not going to give my heart out over to it quite yet after it was hurt last season, but I did enjoy the premiere.
Yeah, it. You know what? To me, I feel like they threw a lot on us in the first episode. Like, just trying to recap it was a lot. And just like, you know, some people were really just, they're like, I'm just kind of here for the exposition. So, like, okay, this
exposition.
Well, I mean, like, their characters are like, okay, my lines are all exposition based. I got to explain this, this, and that. I got to explain Insight. I got to explain.
There was some of that.
But yeah, it was kind of heavy in that because they're like, okay, they're trying to pivot now to being like, okay, we've got Insight. There's this whole new thing, you know, kind of lurking under the surface, and not Evan Rachel Wood wants to take it down, but Dolores wants to take it down. And at the end of the episode was when Dolores and Caleb just met. So so we didn't really get to see that dynamic between them yet, but there were a lot of interesting parallels trying to, you know, like seeing Caleb wake up every day and almost having him feel like, you know, he's stuck on a human loop. So I'm like, oh, they're trying to draw that comparison on. So I told you this already. Look out for a lot of are we people or are we machines messages in this.
Oh, it's a deep show, man.
Yeah.
Very deep. Coming for you philosophically.
Yeah.
I've always thought Westworld is a bit heavy-handed when it comes to that stuff. I just felt like they kind of fell down a hole last year where this, you could see the strings and the metaphors that felt clever in the first season just were kind of pounded into nothingness, and I just kind of got tired of them. This was new. I liked doing something new with it. I mean, there were like little things that, because the whole idea of the show is that it's very precise, right? That it's trying to tell this very, you know, layered story about how AI is going to rise up and destroy us. Well, we may be instruments of our own destruction. But there are like, and it really leans on the precision of the visuals of like the plot kind of unfolding in this very deliberate way. And, but then there are points where I'm like, that guy just came up behind Dolores and just shocked her out. She didn't know anything. Or like, she killed a lot of people. Like, where are the police in this future society? In this future society, no one's monitoring this.
Yeah, there's some little plot holes that come up here and there. But I, you know, I would say though, I might be a little different from you in how I perceive the first episode. To me, I wouldn't call it bad, but maybe it was just like a big shock to have gone from Westworld to what's basically future world to the outside world. I think that part of the appeal to me was like being in the park and just having something different and new that, you know, it's like, okay, we've never really seen what would happen if people get to make unlimited choices and have no repercussions for it. So they kind of, to me, it definitely feels like a huge departure from the first season, or at least the first episode. for me not to say that much, but I said this before that if they could have worked it out somehow, I would have loved to have seen the entire series take place into the part to maybe where the final season was like, oh wow, they finally escaped, or they finally, so, but maybe that would have been a very convoluted season. And there's just so many like things about like, oh, well now Ford's got this plan and Dillo's got that plan.
They could only afford Anthony Hopkins for one season.
Yeah. You can't keep following that. It's like, I'm out, or throw some more cash at me. But yeah, it, objectively speaking, it was a good setup to kind of tease like, okay, what the heck is going to happen next? There's a lot of brand new, fresh stuff to work with here.
And you're right, and Julie says that The Walking Dead and Outlander are good. I've heard The Walking Dead is really killing it lately.
Yeah.
So I might actually get back into that. We'll see what happens. Still haven't talked about that. We'll have Rebecca on talk about Outlander. I wonder if we can have other folk on talk about like The Walking Dead and stuff in this new format. We'll talk to Richard as soon as possible.
I might have to watch The Walking Dead spinoff World Beyond or Beyond World, World Beyond. Or something. World Beyond, yeah. Because I have screeners. I might be doing some interviews, fingers crossed. So I might be able to talk about that one once that rolls around in a couple of weeks. So
are
we'll see.
Folks still doing interviews? Like we talked to a guy from Westworld, an actor on Westworld, so but that was on Friday. So
I wonder if we're talking like to the same guy.
Possibly.
Yeah,
he likes they loves tech.
No?
Oh, are you talking to Thandi Newton? How'd you get Thandi?
No, just kidding. But yeah, people are still reaching out to us about interviews, which is really awesome that, you know, celebrities are, they're in the comfort of their own home. They're not working right now.
They're just like a phone thing, right? I guess that's fine.
Like, hey, what's going on? What are you up to? Okay. I'm so sad, though. I can't say too much. I did have a really... No, I can say it. I had an interview with someone from Mulan, and that had to be pushed back.
Oh, no.
They're like, we don't want it to be released until the movie comes out, which I'm like, all righty. So,
see you in 8 months.
Yeah. Just going to have this show. It's going to collect a little dust, but we'll bring it back out.
Another brief news. I watched the season finale of Avenue 5. That show was mediocre throughout. I'm sorry I watched it. I'm sorry it exists. I don't know why it's coming back. Better luck next time in 2023 when we can film things again.
Yeah.
Anything else you're watching, Mia?
I finished up, I talked about this last week, the mini series Self-Made with Octavia Spencer.
Oh yeah.
So good. Her and Tiffany Haddish. It's definitely one, it's only 4 episodes long, so it's a really quick watch. And I've also got on my list Spy Wars with Damian Lewis. it's on the Smithsonian Channel. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like digging into, it's filling the gap because we've got no James Bond. So it's kind of like this look back on all historical moments that had to do with like spying, espionage. And I'm like, oh boy, it's kind of outside of my league, but I'm watching it to do a review. And it's historical. So if you like historical stuff, it's good for you. If you like David Lewis.
Yeah, they're pretty fun. And we'll see what else is on next week. We'll be back next week, of course. We can end the show with a couple of plugs. you can find us, of course, if you want to listen to us in podcast form on Google Play, iTunes, where podcasts are available. We have our Fandom Madness Tournament going on right now on Twitter. If you're a Twitter user, if you like to tweet, where we pit these characters from sci-fi and fantasy against each other in a March Madness-style tournament. March Madness is canceled. This is going on. This is happening. That's pretty exciting, pretty interesting, pretty fun. And the Wit Club is still available. We're going to be talking about, I think, some happy programming to balance out all the misery this month. It'll be going up very quickly. And if you want to be part of that, you can buy a Wit Club t-shirt. Mia, anything else you want to sign off on before we head off for the week?
No, I don't think so. Stay healthy, stay sane.
Yeah, exactly.
Do some things for your own health.
Yeah, stay sane and healthy. 2 things to do. All right, everybody, we'll be back next week, Wednesday, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. Treasure of Oak Island, History Channel, says Sherry. I guess I have no choice but to do it now. I mean, I'm here at my house. I might as well watch the damn Oak Island show. I will do it. I will.
Yeah.
It will happen. Maybe next week when we'll be back here at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, Wednesday, for more news, reviews, and devs. Devs does sound pretty good. I've heard of that. News, reviews, insights, all the good stuff. Until then... have a lovely day, everybody, and stay safe.
Bye, everyone.